Welcome to Leaders and Legends of Online Learning, a podcast dedicated to the experts. Thank you for listening. Each episode, we'll be learning from the world's leading thinkers and practitioners in online learning and linking to ideas relevant to online teaching, working with online learners, and digital education. You can listen to the experts and check their profiles and link to some of their work on our website, www.onlinelearninglegends.com. I'm Mark Nichols, the interviewer in this episode. You'll learn about Emeritus Professor Otto Peters in this episode through his last PhD student, Professor Olaf Zaraki Victor. Otto is one of the founding theorists in distance education. In fact, Otto Peters created that term. Otto is now 98, but his work continues to inspire. Olaf wrote about an interview he had with Otto published in the first issue of the American Journal of Distance Education in 2024, so I thought I'd reach out to Olaf for a conversation about Professor Peters. This podcast is sponsored by the International Council for Open and Distance Education, ICDE, the leading global membership organization working towards bringing inclusive, quality education to all. By joining the ICDE global network of flexible and distance learning, you can help transform the world through inclusive education. Become a member or find out more by visiting www.icde.org. I'm very privileged to be talking with Professor Olaf Zaraki Richter, a director of the Center for Open Education Research and the Center for Lifelong Learning at the Karl von Ossietzky University of Oldenburg. Now, Olaf is a leader and legend of online learning, absolutely. And he was also the last doctoral student of Professor Emeritus Otto Peters, who we'll be talking about in this interview in recognition of his wonderful work in distance education, which also underpins a lot of open education and online education practice. Olaf, thank you very much for standing in for Professor Peters.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So I thought to do this based on the conversation you had with Professor Peters in your article recently published in the American Journal of Distance Education. Now, Professor Peters is almost 98. I understand his birthday is actually on the 6th of May, a few weeks from where we are. So it was very difficult to try and get an interview with him. Olaf, I thought to contact you because of the article you'd written, but also, of course, with your close proximity to Otto Peters and your friendship with him, what would have to be.
Yes. So in fact, he has his 98th birthday on the 6th of May. He's celebrating it on the 9th of May. Mm. I'm invited to his birthday. He is in quite good health, so it's very nice that I will see him very soon again. To talk about my relationship with him, it's an interesting coincidence. I was born in 1972, which was the year he was awarded his PhD. He got his PhD in the same year. Mm. Yeah, and in 1998, I got my first job at the Center for Distance Education at the University of Oldenburg, which was a study center at that time of the Fernuniversität in Hagen, which is the distance teaching university in Germany, of which Otto Peters was the founding rector. He held this position from 1975 to 1984. And I started to work at the Center for Distance Education already as a student assistant. It was really my job to file the study letters and so on. So I really learned it. So my background is really in distance education. And I met Otto Peters for the first time when we were working on a project to develop a first online Master of Distance Education program. The first fully online program together with an American university, UMUC, the University of Maryland University College. And Otto Peters was a visiting expert in the Foundations of Distance Education course. And my job at the center was in the role of an instructional designer and helped our faculty members to teach online or to develop their content online. So that's how I met Otto Peters. And I also shared my ideas with him and my ambitions to do my PhD about this new and emerging fascinating field of online learning. And he was fascinated at this time as well. And I remember very well. So he said, why don't you do that with us, with me? And that's how it happened. I became his last PhD student. I did my PhD from 1999 to 2003. And that's the story how I met Otto Peters. It was around that time when he was in his mid-70s.
Ah, yeah. So your relationship with Otto Peters started quite some time before that. I thought you'd met him as a doctoral student, but you actually had quite a close working relationship for some time.
It was around 1998 when I met him, and yes, he always supported me when in my publication projects, wrote forwards. So I through my whole career, I shared my work with him, and it was really a privilege to get his feedback, his insights on my work that really guided me. Yeah.
Mm. So, Olaf, the ideas that made Otto a leader and legend of online learning, and yes, I do mean online learning. So he had a very early start in distance education and had some foundational ideas. But his work about the ongoing march of correspondence to distance education, he was obviously very progressive in his thinking. He had some observations around industrialization. He didn't say that distance education had to be industrialized. He just reflected that it was industrialized. He also made many other foundational ideas about distance learning and teaching. What are some of the main themes that really stand out for you when you think back on Otto Peters' writings?
What was really stunning me, and I think that is also not very widely known, is the story that he shared in my interview, that he, in the mid-1960s, early 70s, he really invented the term distance education. It is a direct translation from the German term Fernstudium. The direct translation is distance education. He worked around that time at the, and also did his PhD there at the DIF, the Deutsches Institut für Fernstudienforschung, the German Institute for Distance Education Research at the University of Tübingen. And he was the head of the department. It was called Distance Education Abroad or International Distance Education Division, it was. And in this capacity, he had to prepare documents for meetings of the ministers of education at the European Commission, who were all dealing with the establishment of new open and distance teaching universities in Europe. And he was coming from correspondence education, but he didn't want to use the term correspondence education because it had in Europe some negative or reputation. And he wanted to distinguish this new form of distance education in the higher education context from this practice of correspondence education. That's why he was looking for this new term and invented the term distance education that was first used throughout the European Union and then later also in North America, which finally led to the name change of the International Council of Correspondence Education in 1984, I think it was, to the International Council of Distance Education. So this is one important thing. And talking about his own doctoral research, at that time when he was at the DIF, he did an international comparative studies of distance education institutions in more than 30 countries in the 1960s and 70s. Also in order to prepare or to inform policymakers about the international practices in the field to prepare the foundation of the distance education university in Germany, of which he became later the first rector. And this study, that was his, I think, this most fundamental contribution. And he published this work in a monograph already in 1967. And later it got published in as his dissertation in 1973. It was published. And the title of this book was Die didaktische Struktur des Fernunterrichts, Untersuchung zu einer industrialisierten Form des Lehrens und Lernens. So in English, The Didactic Structure of Distance Education, Studies on an Industrialized Form of Teaching and Learning. And so based on his observations at all these distance teaching institutions around the world, to analyze the practices. He used terms coming from business studies and industry to analyze the industrial production process that he applied on the systems that were used in distance education. So, for example, the division of labor. In the division of labor in the team approach of the instructional design process, for example, or mechanization, systems and machines to produce study materials and the logistical transport systems involved, or quality control principles to evaluate study materials, and so on and so on. So what he described was in fact the kind of systems approach to distance education that we know today. And I think this is still the basic operational model of the big mega universities and open and distance teaching universities, and still very valid and relevant theoretical foundations, and also with all its practical implications for the operational systems of distance teaching universities. And today, of course, also for all the conventional campus-based universities, now with online learning moving into the mainstream of these institutions. And at least for Germany, I can say that many higher education institutions were not, also after the experiences with the pandemic, were not very well prepared in terms of their organizational structures and student and faculty support systems to make this transition towards online learning. So there's a lot to learn, and I see Otto's theory still as a very important foundation of the current practices that we still see in the field of what I call open distance and digital education. So I think this is really the major theoretical contribution he made. And also as an administrator later, he literally established these support systems at the Fernuniversität in Hagen, where he was the founding rector for the first almost 10 years.
Mm. It's very genius work, I think, taking a look at universities around the world, getting a sense of how they operate, and then coming up with a synthesis of the systems of how they work. And as soon as you mentioned systems approach, my mind went immediately to the work of Michael Moore and Kearsley, of course, where they define distance education in terms of it being a system of activity. So it sounds as though that idea has its genesis, or at least some sort of parallel in what Otto observed when he did that work. When I did my Master of Arts through the Open University UK, I graduated in 2001, about the same time as your PhD study. I was given a copy of Otto Peter's 97 book, Learning and Teaching in Distance Education, and it was a fantastic read. It was one of the more inspirational books that I received in my master's, and I realized right from that moment that this was the field I wanted to develop in. This was the future I could see myself moving into a career on. I understand that Otto's written quite a few works, many of which I haven't read. What are some of the standout ones for you?
I mean, an interesting one is, I mentioned that he got involved in our online Master of Distance Education program, and he did that, although he was already retired, because he was fascinated about what the new and emerging media and the internet, about the opportunities that computer-mediated communication afforded for distance education to overcome the notion of distance education as an isolated form of learning. And so based on this experience that he had in our, we called it virtual seminars and online classes, he reflected on these new developments of online learning. Mm. And in 2002, he published a book with the title Distance Education in Transition, New Trends and Challenges, in which he reflected on coming from this whole background of correspondence education and now observing and seeing these new and emerging media, being fascinated. And he already analyzed this new situation with a series of chapters reflecting on the new pedagogical opportunities He also published there in this book a model of 10 virtual learning spaces and described the pedagogical and didactic opportunities of these virtual learning spaces. So that was another, I think, a book that inspired me as well, that he published in 2002. And it is also available open access at the University of Oldenburg Library System.
Great. We'll link to that one.
So any anecdotes, Olaf, you studied under Professor Peters as his last doctoral student. What can you tell us about what it was like to study with him?
It was an honor and an amazing experience to be his last doctoral student. I remember after my viva, he said, "You were the last one." I was the last one. So he was already retired at that time in his mid-70s, 75. Mm. He still lives in Hagen, close to the Fernuniversität. Mm. And I visited him on a regular basis from 1999 to 2003 when I finished. Yeah. By the way, my topic was about the development of online programs and especially about student and faculty support systems in online education. Mm. But that was written in German. And what was the most amazing thing is that, or I was very impressed always, that he always treated me as an equal partner in conversation. He shared his knowledge. I mean, and despite of his wealth of experience as a scholar, a star in our field and leading administrator, but he was always, and he still is, interested to learn from the younger generations. And I remember very well on my first visit to Hagen, and it was a nice sunny day, he drove me back to the train station, and as a farewell, he said to me, "Thank you for your visit, Herr Zawacki. You can learn from me, and I want to learn from you." To learn about the new opportunities that the internet and personal computers and computer-mediated communication afforded for distance education. So he was fascinated about that. So that was really nice. And he always supported me. And at this very young age, I already had, thanks to him, a very good international network also, because he introduced me to many colleagues. So I remember the ICDE conference in 2001, which was in Germany, in Düsseldorf, close to Hagen. The Fernuniversität was organizing it. So he took me to this conference under his wing. And he was like, of course, like a honeypot. Yeah, all people came to him. And he introduced me to Börje Holmberg and Michael Moore and Frederick Litto. And I remember he was everywhere he was invited. I remember he was invited to a reception organized by the Commonwealth of Learning at an embassy. And he introduced me. This is Olaf Zawacki. He's important to me. You have to invite him too. And of course I joined him. And that was really amazing that he supported me in this way. And I very, very much hope that I can also pass on some of this great academic guidance and support he gave to my own doctoral students today.
Mm. Well, Olaf, you've done that and more with the Springer Handbook of Open Digital Distance Education, along with Eunsoon Jung, authors all around the world. I think it's 80 chapters, isn't it, across that work. It's almost like one leader and legend of online learning giving testimony about another. So, Olaf, I really want to thank you for the conversation. Thank you so much for representing Otto Peters in this conversation. Thank you for the interview, which we will certainly refer listeners to. It's a wonderful conversation with Otto Peters. You've done a brilliant job there. Thank you for representing this leader and legend of online learning.
I thank you for your time as well, and thank you very much for the opportunity to talk about Otto Peters. Thank you.
You can learn more about Otto and his work from our website.
That concludes this episode. Be sure to go to our website, www.onlinelearninglegends.com, to follow up on this episode's guest. You'll also find links to others whose ideas continue to inspire and teach online learning professionals, and you can subscribe to future interviews. If you know of a leader or legend we've not yet talked to, please do drop us a line at onlinelearninglegends@gmail.com.